Good morning, church family. Well, we're beginning a new sermon series this morning. It's entitled, The Adventists. And it's kind of a play on words because we're going to have different titles playing on the word Adventist. As you can see, there's all sorts of different emotions that you can have as an Adventist. All different feelings, all different attitudes. And this morning we're looking at the Gladventist. You can only imagine what that's about. It's going to be taught where we'll be talking about the emotion of joy, the emotion of happiness. But think about the other emotion, the other things you can tack on to Adventist. You've got a sadventist. You've got a badventist. A madventist. And of course, we got the Seventh-day Adventist. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of these attitudes, some of the things about being an Adventist, what it all means, and how it relates to the Bible. But before we get into that this morning, let us have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for this Sabbath day that you've given us. We want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you and to be in this place, celebrating your love and your goodness. Fill us today with your joy, with your peace, and may we walk out of this place with a heart confident, knowing that you are in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A Gladventist cannot hide his secret. He's happy, and it shows. When he expresses that joyous emotion, others can tell. A smile bursts across his face. The eyes of a Gladventist light up, and there is joy in the tone of their voice. Laughter follows closely with him. And it's contagious. Although there is no secret when someone is glad, there seems to be a secret to obtaining that laughable emotion. It appears that some have it, but others don't. And the question I'd like to ask this morning, is there some kind of secret or special process or special way to obtaining happiness? Is there some secret to being a Gladventist? Have some just figured it out, and so they happily go along through life, and some just haven't? Or are some just affected more by calamities, and it seems like some are left alone? Well, if we look at our American way of life, it appears that our culture has found the secret. Just look at any advertising campaign. Look at the television ads. And what are they saying? Drive this car. Drink this beverage. Wear these clothes. Buy this product. And you will be happy. Come on, look at everyone. They're smiling. Everyone's having a good time. But the problem I see, and I'm sure you've seen it too, that if we have lived any length of time on this planet, we have experienced the false sense of joy that material things provide. Modern society doesn't have the answer. Advertisements are just trying to get you to buy their products so they can make money. Yet there seems to be some kind of secret to happiness. Some kind of way to enjoy that expression of joy. And I would like to share with you this morning the key to being a Gladventist. You see, it's no secret, though, because it's found in the Word of God. We can all see it. It's there in plain day. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4, one of the small books of the of the letters that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. We call them the epistles. No, the epistles are not the wives of the apostles. The epistles are just letters that the church leaders wrote to various churches and groups. Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes to this church in Philippi, and he shares with them some secrets to being happy. If we look at the beginning of chapter 4, let's look at verse 2. Paul is talking, is writing, and he says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Apparently, in the church at Philippi, these two women, we don't know all the details, Euodia and Syntyche, were at odds with each other. There was a conflict. There was a problem. And Paul is saying, I encourage them to be united in the same mind. I encourage them to figure out their differences. And then look at what Paul says. After referring to this crisis between these two church members, he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Paul is telling us to rejoice always. Rejoice always. You know that word always right here? It's a special kind of word in our English language that we call... I just lost the word. Oh, no. It's something... I know. Maybe the teacher can help me out. Miss B? No, okay. It's a word that, just like the word always and never, I can't think of the word. What did we call it? Absolute. We'll use that one. I'll think of it on my drive to Deckard, so I'll preach it at Deckard and tell them what it is there, and then I'll come back. But the thing is, one of my professors in my undergrad always used these kinds of words. It was always and never, and these things that are absolute. They're all-encompassing. And so Paul is telling us, rejoice always. In all circumstances, rejoice. Not in 99% of the circumstances, 99.9%, not in 90%, but in all circumstances. He says, rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. We know that song, don't we? It comes from this verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. We know that song, don't we? To rejoice always. Be joyful always. In all circumstances, we are to rejoice. We are to be happy. You've heard this other song too, haven't you? Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. That is the common belief and the common teaching that we always get from these verses. Don't worry, be happy. Rejoice always. But I would like to throw a twist into this common understanding of being joyful all the time. It's not true. It's not true. It can't be true. Being in a constant state of joy is not the secret to being a Gladventist. And let's be realistic. We cannot always be in a state of joy. We're human. We have emotions. And our emotions fluctuate with the circumstances. Our happiness is based upon circumstances. And we have these different emotions being changed by experiences that happen to us. We have a different emotion when we get an A on a test than when we get a D minus. We have a different emotion when we get to work on time or we get stuck in traffic and it makes us late. We have a different emotion when we have a fight with our spouse or we have a candlelight dinner with our spouse. Right? Clarification, yes. We'll stop there. But we have different emotions when we look at the news of what happened in Memphis this week. How can we be joyous in this situation? How can we be joyful in all circumstances, Paul? Maybe the secret that we're looking for is not a secret dealing with emotions, but something more. Because Paul says, be joyful always. But how can Paul say this if you look at all the experiences that Paul went through? He describes a lot of these things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Paul expresses everything that has taken place in his life, and you look at all the calamities that he's gone through, yet he still says, rejoice always. How is that possible? How is that possible, Paul? Maybe he's not focused on the emotion of happiness. Because happiness changes with the circumstances. He's not focused on the unpleasant experience. He's focusing on something else. Something deeper than the emotional experience on the surface. Paul says it matters what we are rejoicing about. It's not just about the circumstance. Look with me again at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4 again, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Did you catch it there? Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul's referring to what we are rejoicing about. It's not the circumstance. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Life is not about being joyful, just to be joyful in any circumstance. Because we can gloss over the issues that we're dealing with, and we can make it look like we're joyful on the outside, but that's a false sense of joy. Because we can, if we're joyful in every single circumstance, people are going to look at us a little cross-eyed. Because we have emotions, we have experiences that are difficult. I mean, think about it. My dog died. Let's rejoice. I lost my job. Praise the Lord. Some of you might be praising the Lord because of the job you lost. I love it when my boss is upset at me. Sweet! Another accident. I get to wait in traffic. Yes. I mean, if we're joyful in every single experience, it's false joy. It's just glossed over. People look at us a little cross-eyed saying, okay, aren't you going to be sad one of these days? Life is not about being joyful in every single experience. That's not what Paul is saying when he says rejoice always. what Paul is saying is he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Life is about being joyful in Jesus. Every week of our lives, we go through difficult experiences. These past few weeks have been pretty difficult. Your pastor gets to see a lot of these difficult experiences. In the last 3 weeks, I've been to 5 funerals. The news that we heard in Memphis on Wednesday, just heartbreaking. About one of our own Adventist students killing their principal. I knew Suzette. I did this week of prayer 2 years ago at Memphis. And it just stabs you in the heart when you see a little baby, 8 days old, who hasn't even sinned. It's tough to find joy through these experiences. It is hard to find joy through this. You can almost not be a Gladventist through these events. But maybe that's the secret. That Paul is not saying be joyful in any and all experience, no matter what takes place. Paul is saying be joyful in Jesus. Be joyful in the promises and the character of God. Be joyful in what God says through His Scriptures. Romans 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Be joyful in that. Be joyful in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. The Bible says, He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Be joyful in the hope of eternal life. Be joyful in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Be joyful in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For we know that God works together, for God works together for the good of those. I messed that one up. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Be joyful that God is continuing to work in your character. Be joyful in what Jesus desires to do for us, and what Jesus is doing in our lives. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we have actually a special advantage, you could say, to this understanding of joy and this understanding of the promises of God. Because as we understand, when Jesus returns from heaven, He is going to make all things right. He is going to raise up those who have died in Jesus, that we will see them again. That's the hope and the joy that we have, especially as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, because we have that belief and that understanding from Scripture that there is that hope. And so Paul is telling us today in Philippians chapter 4 that no matter what trouble you might be going through, no matter what difficulty you may be facing, no matter what crisis or hardship, no matter what the devil throws our way, we can be joyful in Jesus. That is what Paul is telling us today. He goes on in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4. He goes on to explain how this all takes place. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul explains how this all takes place. Be anxious for nothing. Surrender all of your cares before the Lord. Last night we had our Seeking His Face Vespers. 6 o'clock Friday nights, the Friday before the second Sabbath. It doesn't always fall on the second Friday, but it's the Friday before the second Sabbath. And I encourage those of you who have not been able to attend to come one meeting, two meetings. Last night we prayed and we presented our request before God. With thanksgiving, we presented those requests before God. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Because as we surrender our cares and our worries before the Lord, He takes care of them. I mentioned how the last few weeks have been pretty difficult with joy. Anxiety and stress kills joy. Let me tell you, it kills joy. Typically, I'm a pretty cheerful person. I'm pretty bubbly, pretty happy is my character. I'm sanguine, I'm outgoing. And I typically have a smile on my face most times. But like I said, these last 3 weeks have just been tough. A few weeks ago, I was sick with a bad virus. Still don't know exactly what it was, just some bad virus. I was down for a week. It's no fun when you're down for a week. And then we had the 5 funerals in the last 3 weeks. And even my dear wife Karen and I have had some misunderstandings. We're human. I'm not Superman. Don't put your pastor on a pedestal. We're not Superman. Sometimes we think we're Superman. Side note, I heard a funny story recently about Muhammad Ali, the boxer, who was flying on an airplane one time, and the flight attendant asked him to buckle his seatbelt. He responded back, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And right away, the flight attendant said, "Well, Superman didn't need no plane either." Anyway, sometimes, you know, pastors, we sometimes feel like Superman. Superman don't need no support from nobody. But no, we do. Because these last few weeks have just been difficult. And I just had this burden upon me from the grief of the funerals and misunderstandings, like I said, with my dear wife and being sick and all of this just piling upon me. I felt like I was carrying it all. And the amazing thing was, and I actually got kind of blue. Not blue in the face, but I got a little depressed. I got kind of blue. The amazing thing was I had already chosen this text. I had already chosen this topic. I had already chosen everything. And as I was studying through Philippians 4 here, the Lord spoke to me. Because I felt like I was carrying all of these burdens by myself. But the Lord spoke to me and He said, "Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so I just surrendered it all to the Lord. I said, "You know, Lord, You take it." I was trying to carry it all by myself. And the burden was lifted. That's what Jesus wants to do for you. That's what He wants to do for me. And my friends, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're going through this moment. You may be suffering some illness. You may be depressed or uncertain of your future. You may be confused about a big decision or a difficult decision to make. You may be mourning the loss of a loved one. You may be suffering with habitual sin. My friends, I want you to know and understand today that the Bible is telling us that we can rejoice in Jesus. We can rejoice in the hope that Jesus gives us. Even though we're going through a tough time, we can put our faith and our trust in Jesus. We're not to ignore the difficulty. We're not to gloss over it because we're human. We have these emotions. But through those emotions, we can rejoice. It's not just happiness, because happiness changes with the circumstance. But we can rejoice that God has it all under control, that He knows the end from the beginning, and we can surrender our burdens before the Lord, and we can rejoice that He has and that He will take care of those burdens. This is the secret to the life of a Gladventist. The secret to true joy is Jesus. Because look at what Paul declares next. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, "After we have presented our requests before God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We can rejoice with the peace of God because we have surrendered our burdens before Him. It doesn't matter what circumstances have come our way or what we have gone through, because we've given it completely to God. And His peace then fills our heart. It gives us strength to continue onward. And look at what Paul says at the second half of this verse. "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." The devil likes to throw these darts at us, these arrows. The Ephesians says they're fiery darts, fiery arrows that the devil throws at us. Doubt, discouragement, hardship, depression, calamities, crises, death. He likes to throw all these things at us. But the Bible says that God will guard our hearts. And those little fiery darts, they're snuffed out. They just chink off the armor. Because we have the peace of Jesus in our hearts. I'm not saying that we gloss over the calamities, the problems that go on in our lives, but we can rejoice and have God's peace as we suffer through it, as we cry through it. We can have God's peace. Here's a promise I want to leave you with. Isaiah 26, verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." When our hearts and our minds are stayed upon Jesus, He is the one that keeps us in perfect peace. He is the one that takes our burdens and takes care of our problems in life. The secret to living with joy is a relationship with Jesus, having that connection with God. That relationship connects us to the source of peace. To focus on the source of our joy, rather than focus on the difficulty at hand, brings us God's everlasting peace that surpasses all understanding. We're going through a difficult time. We're going through the death of a loved one. We're going through the loss of a job. Yet we have peace. And people around us say, "Why aren't you depressed? Why aren't you suffering?" Oh yes, we've suffered. We've dealt with it, but we've given it to God. And there's that peace. Last week, I had the privilege, the honor, to attend the funeral of Pastor Len Schleissner. He was the pastor at the Madison campus from 1995 to 2010. Matt and Michelle, you guys know him very well. Beloved, he was a beloved pastor and leader of that church. And on August 1st, his birthday, he lost his fight with cancer. About 5 or 6 years ago, he was diagnosed with a ginkgoblastoma brain tumor, one of the worst you can have. And they only gave him a few months to live. But the Lord, he went through treatment, and the Lord gave him some more years to carry it out. He was a wonderful, loving, caring man. He was committed to his church. He was also committed to his country. He was a Vietnam veteran in the 101st Airborne, the Screaming Eagles. a paratrooper in Vietnam. He was someone who loved his congregation. His family shared wonderful experiences about his life at the funeral. And after they had the sermon, after Buzz Mendenhall from Newmarket got up and had the sermon, his son got up and shared some other experiences and shared some excerpts from a sermon that he had preached 10 years ago. 10 years ago, Pastor Lynn preached a sermon about trouble and about the second coming. He preached about how we can have joy through the troubles of our life now. And that he gave a statement that rings true, especially in his condition. He didn't even know that he had cancer back then. But he gave a statement in that sermon. And this is what he said. He said, "Trouble doesn't seem so bad when you know home is at the end of the journey." Trouble doesn't seem so bad when you know that home is at the end of the journey. We can have joy in Jesus when we take an attitude like that, can't we? When we know that home is at the end of the journey. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It matters somewhat. We have those emotions. But when we recognize that Jesus is in charge of everything, when we surrender our burdens and our cares to Him, we can have joy. The trouble doesn't look so bad when we know that home is at the end of the journey. Whatever it may be, when we have a relationship with Jesus, the circumstance doesn't matter. But it's our connection with Him that matters. And you see, the devil recognizes when we have that connection. And he tries to throw circumstances. He tries to throw calamities. He tries to throw difficulties in our way because he wants to sever that connection. He wants us to release our hold on Jesus. But that's not what Paul is asking us to do. Paul is asking us to rejoice in the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have read the promises of your scripture, our hearts are turned ever closer to you. We ask that you will give us joy, that you will give us vision past the difficult trouble. For we know that that trouble doesn't seem so bad when we realize that home is at the end of the journey. And so we pray, dear Jesus, that you will fill us with your joy, that you will give us your peace as we surrender our problems and our cares to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.